what we've been trying to preach on, talk on in the 22nd chapter of Luke. And this week I've had another thought on it that I have not thought of before, ever. I'll read the two verses, which is 31 and 32 again. So Luke 22, 22nd chapter of Luke, 31st and 32nd verses. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengtheneth thy brethren. The thought that I had was to ask the question, did Peter's faith fail? Now, ponder that. Did Peter's faith fail? When we go back to various places we could go, but 26th chapter of Matthew, and read about Peter's perhaps darkest hour that he has experienced in his service to God. We'll start reading in the 69th verse of the 26th chapter of Matthew. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while, and we can read in John again that it was about an hour later. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. So my question again. Did Peter's faith fail? Yes or no answer. You don't have to say it out loud, but do you have an answer? Well, in my mind, if you have an answer, you can't be wrong. Because it's yes or no, in my mind. Let's remember what happened with Lazarus when he was raised from the dead. Christ raised him. And in that process, God, or Christ, prayed to God and said, Thou always hearest my prayer. So we know that God heard that prayer, whatever it was that he prayed, that his faith fail not. And yet, as we have read to you, on the surface, it certainly seems like his faith did. Not only did he deny him three times, he did it publicly in front of them all, and then he ended up swearing and cursing, saying he did not know him. That's confusing. Christ prayed for him, but the Lord didn't answer that prayer. His own son's prayer. Does that make sense? Would you agree with that? What got me thinking a little bit more on this is I looked further into the word fail. And I'll tell you, if you hadn't figured out on the outset, this is hard. This is hard to explain and easy to be misunderstood. So I'm fearful as we go into it because I don't want to say or do anything that would be dishonoring to God or to the Trinity. But the word fail there has another usage that we had not known. And it has to do with light. And it's not like a light switch where you turn it off and you turn it on and the effects of it are sudden. Many of us were over at Brother Tom's, Sister Mary Ann's last night singing and enjoyed that in celebration of Brother Tom's retirement. And Weston, I think it was, reached out there towards the end of a verse and flipped off the light. And I mean, immediately it went dark. Now, it wasn't just black dark, but it went dark. And everybody, you know, we were without power. No, Weston did his thing. Okay. But that's not what it means. It doesn't mean an instant darkness. It means a gradual darkness likened, are you ready? Likened unto an eclipse of the sun or the moon. Now that's a key. I'll ask you, in an eclipse, let's say a solar eclipse, does the sun quit shining? What happens? Something has gotten in the way of our eyes and the sun, and you see it gradually coming and gradually coming until the sun is totally blocked out. And then slowly, the light starts appearing and starts appearing until finally the sun is once again in its full grandeur. I think that's a beautiful description of what happened here. I think there was a time when Peter's faith was eclipsed with his fear, with his doubt, with his natural emotions. But I think when the Lord looked at him and he remembered what the Lord had said, and he said, no, I'll go unto thee into death. The Lord looked at him, and again, like I've said before, I don't think that was a look of anger. Don't think that was a look of rejection. I think that was a look of compassion and love and pity. Oh, Peter. I think right then, gradually, the light starting to appear. You could see it gradually starting to go away when there was the first rejection, and then the second denial and rejection, and finally just a full-out cursing and a rejection. It had eclipsed. But then gradually, when the Lord looked at him and he went out and remembered and went out and wept bitterly, my friends, I believe that process of the light coming back was occurring. That's beautiful to me because it tells me that that can happen to us as well. Now, the light was shining all the while. The difference is something has obscured it. Something has interfered with it. Something has gotten in the way of it. Our thought today, Lord help us, would to try to apply all or at least some aspect of what we have said in the last two or three, however many Sundays it's been, and try to apply this to our life, because if we don't get the application of it, it's just a history lesson. The goal is to say, how does this affect us? So what? So that happens to Peter. How, we weren't there. What about us today? Well, I'll tell you something that is identical today as it was back then, and that's the work of Satan in the lives of even the apostles. He desires to sift you, to toss you to and fro, and to separate you and I from two things. First of all, from God, and second of all, from one another. And he was successful with the apostles as far as they fled, as far as they feared, and we talked about that. But during all that time, my friends, the Lord knew what would happen. The Lord understood. What was the benefit? Why did Peter go through that? So that he could be converted, and so that he could strengtheneth his brethren. You see, sometimes we pray so earnestly unto God. How about Paul? Did he have that? He prayed that this thorn in the flesh be removed. Did the Lord remove it? We have no record of it. What the Lord said is, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What do you think Peter's, as he was weeping bitterly, thought of his own ability during that time? Where just a few hours earlier, he took his sword to lop off one of the ears of the high priest, the band of that came after the Christ. Some 400 or so soldiers. A band is a military term in Roman culture. But I tell you, when he was weeping bitterly, my friends, he saw himself as what he was, what he really was. Even though an apostle, even though one that would be so paramount early in the church, as we have already talked about the various aspects of him strengthening. My friends, there, he got right down to what he was. And by understanding to a more fuller extent of what he was, he could see God more fully as to what he was and the degree and the depth of his mercy and his grace to all of us, my friends. I don't think there's a person here that would say, I want justice from God. No, we'd cry out for mercy. Mercy, O Lord, as we sung. Thy mercy, O Lord, is the theme of my heart, my life. Mercy. Now, I take justice, if it's God's justice, my friend, from the standpoint that we've already been judged in Christ on the cross. And we've already been made accepted in the Beloved. But as we sojourn here in this life, my friends, many times I cry out for mercy. Have mercy, O Lord. So what ought we to do? What ought we to do? Well, my friends, we find ourselves looking at the examples in Scripture and trying to understand how to apply it in our lives today. Yes, we go through, Satan desires to have us, as we live in this world, so confused in such a confusing time, my friends. Yet God, Satan can bewitch us with his traps and with his tricks that he has. He doesn't fight fair, my friends. And I'll tell you what, as some of us have talked, I don't know how many times I get tricked by the same identical thing over and over and over again. And I think, Sonny, what's wrong with you? Over the same. It wasn't any different with Peter, my friends, as we have talked about. Wasn't any different whatsoever. But I tell you, when the Lord looked at him, all of the stuff that he had, all the things, I remember an Old Testament scripture that says, the bed is too short for thee and the covers are too narrow. You can't cover yourself up in your works, my friends. You can't lay in the bed of self-righteousness and be content and have any rest. The rest is to be found, my friends, is when we find our righteousness in our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, and be able to say, mercy is the theme of my life. Oh, to be close enough to our Lord to where He would just be able to guide us with His eyes. You ever seen that? I have. I've been both on the recipient end of that and I've been on the giving end of that. I remember in my childhood, there'd be those that would just look at me and with their eyes point me to something or give me a frown. I knew what it meant. It means stop doing what I was doing. But you know, I didn't learn that overnight. I had to be instructed more perfectly in that. And I soon found that when Mom never could hit me very hard to where I would. In fact, I made the mistake one time to tell my aunt, she betrayed me. I told my aunt, I said, really, Mom's spankings don't hurt. I just cry so she'll stop. You know what my aunt did? It was Aunt Nita, Brother John. My aunt went and told my mom, and man, my world got turned upside down by the time Mom took me out. But I learned. Wasn't just my mom and dad. It was uncles and aunts. I had an opportunity last night to kind of talk pretty sternly to one of the little ones as they were taking salt and pepper and dumping it into the stand and where it was. Uh-huh. You know, she kind of smiled, looked at me and kind of laughed. And I talked stern. I pointed my finger. I said, that's not funny and you need to stop it. Oh, that the Lord would guide us with His eyes. Do you know that scripture? Let me go turn and read it real quick. Psalms 32 maybe says this. 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's a song we sung last night, I believe. He shall guide me with His eye. Oh, church, that we would walk close enough with the Lord that we would not have to wait for the stern look or the look like He gave unto Peter. I can't explain this the way I'd like. Have you been hurt by your children? You teach them and you instruct them and they just... Children don't really understand that as they're being a child. My dad used to say something every time he spanked me. He'd say, Sonny, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I never did believe him until I had to correct my own children. And I realized real quickly that that was true. I've had my children do things that to this day cut me to the heart. How do you think the Lord feels? How do you think the Lord feels when we once again yield to the things that we shouldn't yield to? Fall to the trickery and the sleight of hand and cunning craftiness of Satan. I don't believe the Lord ever gets frustrated with us like I did. I think He just says, oh, Peter. Oh, Peter. I know what you're getting ready to go through. I know you're going to go out and weep bitterly. I know you're going to have pain that you go through. But there's a reason for it, Peter. Remember what in David, when thou art the man, and he wrote in the 51st Psalms, He says that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. My friends, even as Brother David preached last weekend, sometimes we go through things that are bitter, things that are almost nauseous to our stomach, of things that we get entangled in, just so we can understand that there's deliverance, my friends. There's mercy and there's grace to help in time of need. How ought we to be? We need to return to our Lord. Whenever we feel that we've gotten away from His eyes, we need to run quickly to His side. I tell this story over and over because when I heard it, it made such an impression upon me. with his family in the hot summertime in the country or whatever. And there was a field over here and a field over here, and there was grass burrs in between. And all of a sudden, a ruckus broke out next door. And the doors were open, had not air conditioning and so forth, and a ruckus broke up. And all of a sudden, the screen door flew open, and this child running, trying to get away from his mama because he had done something wrong. I ran right through, barefooted, ran right through that thorn branch. He got out there and made two or three steps in it, and all of a sudden, he stopped, and he turned. And he put his arms towards mama and said, "Help me." In an instant, he quit running away from one that was going to inflict punishment to him and ran towards one that was going to have mercy and help him with those thorns and those stickers inside of his feet. Because, gee, he knew as a child. Why would we not learn that? Run to the Lord, my friend, not away from him. There's no future in running away from the Lord. It'll just get worse. Run to him, my friend. He knows what you need better than you do, or better than I do. We don't need to be like Thomas. We need to have faith. Our faith need not fail us. We don't need to doubt. You remember Thomas's experience, my friends, through all of that? I think it's in John somewhere. John 20. I'll just start reading in the 26th verse of John 20. "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them." The Lord had already appeared 8 days prior to this, but Thomas wasn't there. And so the apostles told Thomas about what happened. You know what? Well, I'll just read you what Thomas says. "The other apostles therefore said unto him," this is in the 25th verse, the verse prior, "the other disciples therefore said unto him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nail, or put my finger into the prints of the nail and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" You know how to interpret that, my friend? You hear it. "I won't believe it until I see it." I've been guilty of saying that. You know what that is? That's Thomas. That's a Thomas in all of us, my friends. "I won't believe it until I see it." I got something better for you today, my friends. The Lord said it, and I'll believe it. I don't have to wait to see it to happen. Just because the Lord in Scripture, or whoever in Scripture, has said something, that should be enough reason to believe it. That's faith. Thomas says, "I won't, not till I see it." Well, 26 again. "After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.'" He didn't walk through the door. He walked through the door. It didn't have to be open. He just appeared. "Peace to you." And immediately he turned to Tom. This is another the Lord looking at Peter moment. "Reach thither thy finger." He's talking to Thomas now, 27. "He saith unto Thomas, 'Reach thither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.'" We have no record, my friends, where Thomas ever touched the Lord. That in itself. "Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Nathanael, couldn't remember the man's name. Started to say Philip, but it's Philip that went and got Nathanael, if I remember right. But anyway, Nathanael. You know what he said? They said that he found the Lord. And he said, what good thing can come out of Nazareth? You know, in essence, what he's saying, I won't believe it till I see it. So they came to where the Lord was. And the Lord looked up, saw Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed. Nathanael said, when did you see, I'll paraphrase because I can't get the exact scripture. When did you see me? He said, when thou wast under the fig tree, before Philip came unto thee, I saw thee. It's another eye upon eye moment, my friends. You know what happened under that fig tree? No, you don't. Because it doesn't say. I don't know what happened under it. But you know who did know? The Lord. And you know who else knew? Nathanael. And no one else. And when he said, I saw thee when thou wast under the fig tree, Nathanael said, my Lord, my God. Lord looked at him and says, because I said I saw thee under the fig tree, thou shalt see greater things than these. Don't be faithless. Believe. You have faith. We have, talking to me too, we have faith. Use it. Faith is not meant to be shined up and set on a stool or something. It's meant to be you. In fact, what is faith without works? Dead. Does that mean it's gone? No, that means it's just eclipsed. Faith given doesn't depart, my friends. We can add to it. You know we can add to faith? We can. We can add to faith. Let's go over to Peter's writings and hear about that. Second Peter 1, in the 5th verse. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. He doesn't say add faith. What does the Bible say about faith? They prayed, Lord, increase our faith. You remember that? What did the Lord tell them? If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be removed. And it be. It's not the size of your faith. We each have the measure of faith. We all got the same faith. It's just like our bodies. Our bodies all have, unless we're deformed or whatever, all have the same muscles. We're all born with the same muscles. It's what you do with them. You exercise, they grow. You know what they have to do before they grow? If you start lifting weights and all that stuff, they have to tear. And then they start growing. Not much different than that in faith, my friends. The Bible talks, in fact, Peter again in 1 Peter, the Bible talks about the trial of our faith. You think Peter was going through a trial, my friends? Absolutely he was. Absolutely that's what that was. A trial of faith. Being more precious than gold that perisheth in the fire. What does gold do to fire? It burns out the impurities. And my friends, the trial of our faith. Some of us that were out here last night or yesterday, we got so far down trying to dig a hole and it stopped. And we take turns banging on that post so digger and banging down in there and it just bounced right off. I really wish that we had post-so diggers that were more tempered than that to where we could plunge them in and they would not recoil back on us. Faith untried, my friends, doesn't do a whole lot of good. But faith tried, oh, that's a precious thing, my friends. Precious. So add to your... Who say, O Baptists, don't believe in good works? They're wrong. Add to your faith. Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. All that's to be added to faith, my friends. And it's a lifetime work. Let's go to the fifth chapter. There's something better than being doubting, as Thomas says. We all have that. We're all subject to that. All of us. Another saying, too good to be true. You know, sometimes that can help you. You know, when you get a phone call and says you've just, won a lottery or something, and all you got to do is hit one on your phone. Don't hit one. Don't do that. It is too good to be true. But I tell you, in God's kingdom, my friends, while it is too good to be true, it is true. God really, truly did choose His people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And those same people, my friends, that He chose before the foundation of the world, God truly sent His Son willingly into this world to die for their sins and their sins alone. For He shall save His people from their sins. It's not all people and all sins. It's not all people and whosoever will. It's all people and their sins. For God really did so love the world of His elect that He gave His only begotten Son. You can go on and on and on. It really is too good to be true, but it's true. Listen to this in the fifth chapter of 1 John. 10th verse, 5 and 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ. Listen, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That is being strengthened, the brethren. Listen to it again. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect, complete, establish, strengthen, settle you. My friends, sin is the enemy. Sin is the problem. Let me go to a scripture, if I can find it. 29th Proverbs, 29th chapter of Proverbs, 25th verse. Listen to it. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You know what a snare is? It's a trap. You see it where a takes some skill to do it. I've seen people knowing what they're doing would set a snare for a wolf out in Alaska. Now, of all that mass countryside to run in, of all the places that wolf would stick his head, you've got to set up a snare about that big for him to stick his head through it. Sounds like an impossible task, doesn't it? You've got to set it in a path that the wolf would walk in. You've got to set it at the height so it wouldn't hit his legs and won't go over him. It's got to be set just right and in just the right place. But that's how talented, cruel, Satan is. He can put it right in your pathway. And when you stick a head through that, my friends, the snare closes, and the longer you pull on it, the quicker you die, because you get choked to death by that snare. Now, what kind of fear is this? What did I say? For the fear of man bringeth a snare. That's an ungodly fear. That's not fear. It's a fear of man. And the fear of man, my friend, is the very thing that obstructed and eclipsed Peter's faith. Remember what he was fearful of? You remember who it was? The Jews, not just Jews, Jews of the circumcision. These, my friends, were baptized believers from the church at Jerusalem that came to Antioch. 15th chapter of Acts, you can read about it. Came to Antioch. I love how Paul describes it. He says, them that think they are somewhat. Paul had walked that life. Paul knew what it... Not only was Paul a Pharisee, he was a son of a Pharisee. That cut no slack with Paul. It didn't intimidate him. It didn't bother him. He'd look right in the face of them and tell it just like it is. Not so much Peter, a fisherman by trade. And he saw these Jews coming in from Jerusalem, and he was scared of them. He had fear of the circumcision. Why? Well, what happened to him when he went down to Cornelius' house? Do you remember? What happened when he came back from... They demanded of him an answer. What are you doing going down to a Gentile's house? Oh, he had a good answer for him. And he told him just what had happened, my friends. But I tell you, he had a... Here he is at Antioch. The circumcised, those from Jerusalem hadn't come yet. And there he is, eating with the Gentiles, being with the Gentiles, enjoying with the Gentiles. Paul there and seeing it. And when those circumcised came from Jerusalem, he withdrew himself and went over there and quick refused to eat with them anymore. And not only did he do it, some that was with them did it. Remember what Paul did? He withstood him to his face, for he was to blame. My friends, fear is a powerful, powerful tool of Satan. If he can't fool you with enticement, he'll manipulate you with fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare. I tell you, when you're in that snare, there's only one thing you can do. You can't take it off yourself. You've got to ask the Lord. Go back to Paul. He had this thorn in the flesh. Guess what? You don't know what it is, and I don't either. I can guess, but that's all it'd be is a guess. When we get into guess, your guess is as good as mine. Bible doesn't say, but whatever it is, it bothered Paul. And he prayed thrice that this be removed. The answer was, my grace is sufficient. And my friend, God's grace is still sufficient to pull you out of any snare that you and I, through our ignorance, get into. To have courage where before we had fear. To step out on the promises of God, not knowing what's going to happen. To be able to say, whatever befalls, we're going this way, and trust that the Lord will be our protector. That the Lord, we want to be guided by His eyes. Whatever befalls. Let me finish the text now. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, when we're fearing, that's really what we're after. I want to feel safe. I want to feel safe. I want to be secure. I want to feel the Lord's protection. Sometimes we'll try to build up an account in the bank and get protected behind that. Well, that'll last for so long. And something will befall you, my friends. And all of a sudden, you'll start fearing losing that. Well, there's nothing wrong with saving. Nothing wrong with working your way to retirement and fixing and enjoying that. Nothing wrong with it at all. But don't put your confidence in that. Put your confidence in the Lord that blessed you to lay that aside, my friends. That gave you health, that gave you a job, that gave you sense, that made good decisions. All of that, put your confidence in the one who delivered you to that point rather than the results of that deliverance. Here's the secret. Here's the secret. We've already said it, but we'll say it in other words this time. If you'd like to be turning to the first chapter of 1 John. Here's the secret. It's to be close enough to the Lord that He can guide you with His eyes. You know another word for that? Fellowship. Fellowship. First John. I'll just start reading at 1/3 verse is what I want, but let me start at 1 and 1. 1 John 1 and 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He's not talking about anything that he hadn't seen, that he hadn't looked at, that he hadn't that he hadn't handled. He's talking about the Son of God. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto that. Well, you can say, but Brother Sonny, you just said he saw it. We have it. Aren't we at a disadvantage? No, 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 you're not. You're actually at an advantage. All right, you got to explain that one to me. Well, let me ask you. Can you remember in detail what your grandparent look like? I know some of you, since I've been here, have lost your parents. I'll just do something personal. Mom. I remember Mom. You all might not know. Mom had a finger that went like that, and you couldn't bend it. It was just, she got that catching a softball as a little girl, and she broke it, and it healed that way. And she couldn't straighten it. It just, I remember that. But already, my memory's starting to fade in the detail of what she looked like. See, when our knowledge is based upon sight only, my friends, it will get pale to us over years and over time. Thomas, as he says back in the 20th chapter, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Listen now. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. You know how you see? There's a term in Scripture. By the eye of what? Faith. I got to wear these things to be able to read these words here. But I don't need these for an eye of faith, my friends. I need something in here for an eye of faith. I don't need something man-made to help me see through an eye of faith. I don't need anything, my friends, except what the Lord gives us to be able to see better than I can see with these glasses, the things that God hath prepared before us that will carry us into heaven's pure world. Remember what Brother T.O. Webb said one time. Brother Webb, dear friend, relative of Brother Tom over here, Brother T.O. Webb thought the world of him. You know, he was fearful to fly on an airplane. He hated doing it, and if he had a choice, he didn't. I remember him preaching one time, and he used that expression. He says, I don't like riding on airplanes. He says, but I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to a plein air ride one of these days. Amen, Brother Webb. I am too. And through an eye of faith, it seems sometimes I can almost, if I get on my tippy toes, almost see a glimpse of what it must be like. And then I come back and I realize it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know something. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be made likened unto him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, where was I? Oh, John. Where was I? Okay. For 1 John 1 and 2. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There's the key. There's the key, church. We stay in fellowship with our Lord. We won't have to, our faith won't fail us. We stay in fellowship with our Lord. Stay close enough to Him. This John was the one that laid his head upon his breast, right? You don't have to wait till you die, my friends, to lay your head upon his breast and breathe your life out sweetly there. You can lay your head on his breast now. Where you feel His presence, you feel His protection, you feel His arms about you. It's as if John, as he said to John, come up hither, John, and I'll show you some things. Angels desire to look into the things that you have access to, my friends. What a blessed thought. When thou art converted, strengtheneth thy brethren. Do you remember? There were times when Peter stood up. One of these days, I hope to try to just preach a sermon on that. Don't know if I'll ever get it done, but that's a good thought. Stood up. That wasn't his nature. Not in front of all those Jews. His nature was to do the opposite, flee. But he stood up. And those times he stood up, it was the right thing to do. And he stood up in defense of the Word of God. And the fear wasn't a problem anymore. I've told you all about this before, but let me do it again if you don't mind. I'm not a good swimmer. I thrash around in the water. And I can get from one place to another, but not very far and not very fast. And it's always been that way. You know why? I don't mean this blaming my mom, but that's the reason why. Mom wanted me to wait till I learned how to swim before I got in water. It don't work that way. My wife tried to teach me how to swim. There was a time when my oldest daughter, Amy, went missing. She was supposed to be home. She went out with her now husband, Brother Harris Hopper. Went out to an event in Little Rock. It was going to be late. And they were going to get out at about midnight and be back to the house at 1. You know what Sonny did? Sonny went to bed. You know what Sonny's wife did? She stayed up. And guess what? 1 o'clock came. They weren't there. 1:30 came, she finally woke me up, and she was not happy that I was sleeping. Sonny, what? Wake up, they're not here. Who's not here? Amy's not here. 2 o'clock, not there. I don't remember what time we called Harris's parents. Maybe 2:30, something like that. First thing I did, started calling hospitals. It was rainy, stormy. Had to drive about 30, 40 miles to get home. Sister Janice, Brother Harris's mother, said, call the church, Brother Sonny. I tell you what, a sister that'll speak her mind is worth gold. Call the church. Call them. I don't want to wake up. Brother Sonny, call the church. Brother Sonny called the church. And as soon as they could get there, we had 20 people there. And we went up and down the road in cars. Went all the way to the stop sign at the end of our road. Didn't see. Turned back around, started back through, came, went the other stop. Didn't see anything. Came back and went right back the way we did, shining our lights in the ditches. And all of a sudden, when we got by this particular bridge, we started smelling gasoline. Stopped. Got out of the car. I heard Amy as I started hollering for her. Daddy! Help! Oh my Lord. I just started boat running through the thorns, everything in the woods. Brother Paul Lee hollered at me, Sonny, what? They're over here under the bridge. They're fine. I ran under the bridge where they were, and they were on top of their car. They had slid off the road because it was wet, hydroplane, down an embankment and into a river. And the river was flooding. It was already over the hood. One of the brethren said, well, got a neighbor down here. We can go get his tractor. He'll be happy to help. And they started. Amy says, Daddy, the car's moving. We need help now. Sonny, that cannot swim, didn't even think about it. Didn't even think about it. I said, grab my hand. And somebody, what are you doing? I'm going to them. Grab my hand. And we formed a human chain out to them. Got them off that car. Got them back underneath there. Got them on the side of the road. And I about fell out. My knees started shaking. I about went to the ground. Now I was scared. Now, it's not that I'm a hero. You know what happened? Perfect love casteth out fear. I didn't fear that running water anymore. My child was on top of that hood. A natural illustration, my friends. You flee to God and don't fear the other stuff. Make sure you're in fellowship with God and then go. Sure is quiet in here. Let me go one more place. Psalms 51. Scripture says, again over in Psalms, I won't turn to it, but it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sometimes it's time to stand up. If this church is the only one that stands up, sometimes it's time to stand up. Not knowing what's going to happen. Sometimes it's time to stand up. Therefore, 51 and 11. Therefore, of Isaiah. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. And they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Oh, my friends, what a promise left to us. I believe that for whatever reason, the Lord is blessing us with joy and rejoicing. And we come into Zion with singing, and it fills our soul. I trust that we'll continue to have seasons of rejoicing. One of the keys to that, my friends, is to not allow Satan to separate us from each other or from God. And if you feel that's where you're heading, you stop. And you pray to God. Sonny goes for Sonny as much as it does anybody else. and you stay right there. You wait on the Lord. And you might have to go through some tears. You might have to go through some repentance. You might have to go through whatever it takes, my friends, for you to once again see your faith shining clearly and convicting you. This is the way to go. You remember? There was a storm and the Lord wasn't in the storm. There was an earthquake and the Lord wasn't with the earthquake. And there was a fire and the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then there was a still, small voice. You know what that servant was doing? He was hiding. You know what he was hiding from? From a woman named Jezebel. He was hiding in a cave. Just a short while after he had defeated a whole army by himself. I fibbed to you. I'm going to do one more. Then that'll be it, I promise. Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world. That'd be all right if it just ended with a period, but there's more to it. But be ye transformed. Heard about transformers? Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's an individual's responsibility. Sometimes you won't know, almost all the time, you won't know definitely what the will of God is. You just have an impression. You'll just feel somehow, this is what I need to do. Spiritual discernment is gold. May God guide us with His eyes as we start the activities that's coming the rest of the spring and into the summer and into the fall and all the way unto the far horizons. May God's eyes guide us and direct us. May we cast a mantle of charity over one another. I have made mistakes. I am a mistake. You've made mistakes. May the Lord bless us to come together and to pull together and to mind the same things. I didn't read that in the third chapter of Philippians. To mind the same things, that we have the same rule and the same desire to march, as was first sung this morning. I think Abby asked her brother to lead it, and he's a better brother than would I. I wouldn't have let it. My sister asked me. But that we might march to Zion. The banner over us being the love of God, and to keep in perfect harmony and perfect steps one with another. God be praised. Thank you. We stand and sing about 125. 125, as we stand and sing, we publish it open door for reception of members. We have a love for your Lord and a love for the people here at Bethel. We invite you to come and present yourself to the church and walk with us. 125. After the first verse or so, we'll take the right hand of fellowship.